Radio Universidad de los Lagos presenta su programa en inglés. Let's Go. Un espacio dedicado a difundir la práctica de esta lengua extranjera en nuestra comunidad universitaria. Acompáñenos y sepan cómo el conocimiento del inglés puede ayudarnos a tener más y mejores oportunidades en nuestras vidas. Conduce el profesor Luis Ruiz Pailalet. So, good morning. This is Luis Ruiz once again at your English program at the Universidad de los Lagos. The name of this program, if you don't remember, is Let's Go. And the idea is to, you know, spread the knowledge of English in the community. And at the same time, we try and learn what the other people here are doing. So this morning I have with me Professor Gustavo Torres, and I would like him to introduce himself to the listeners. Gustavo, please tell us who you are and what you do.
Okay, hello, Luis. Thanks for inviting me. Well, I am Gustavo Torres. I study in Universidad Austral de Chile, forestry engineer. I am working here at the Universidad de los Lagos more or less 22 years.
Ooh, it's been a long time.
Yes.
When did you graduate at Universidad Austral de Chile?
In 1995.
Okay.
I started here in 1996.
Okay, so it didn't take that long to come to this university after graduation.
No. I was working for 1 year in a new program in Chile. Mm-hmm. It was called, I think it exists today.
Yeah.
Servicio País.
I have heard about it. Is it some sort of service that is given to communities that need the help of professionals?
Yes. There is a lack of professionals in many towns in Chile. So the program allowed new professionals beginning, in the beginning of their careers, to work there. They pay us, and it was a great opportunity to know more about it, in a deep way, how is Chile?
Yes.
How is the poverty, rural life, and how is the real life in general?
Because so that was your first job working for.
My first job was that one.
Okay.
For 1 year.
Did you work in a remote area in a rural community?
Yes, I was working in Lonquimay, in the Araucanía region.
Mm. So it's a hot spot.
Yes, today. And also in those days, very interesting, lovely people. I had the opportunity to see beautiful landscapes.
Absolutely.
Always kind persons eating piñones.
Piñones are the fruit that you get from the Araucarias?
Yes, okay. Araucarias. I don't know why they are called monkey puzzle trees. I don't know why.
That's a lovely name in English, monkey puzzle. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's delicious. I love it. I love them.
Do you have to roast them before eating? How do you?
There are many ways of preparing the meal.
Yeah.
Only boiled or toasts or as no, I don't know.
Do you make them into
dry
flour?
Way? Yes.
Okay, so you can make bread.
Yes, okay. Bread and other ways of pantrugas. I don't know.
Lovely. Yes, I don't think there is an English name for pantrugas, by the way.
No, it's unique.
And did you say that you were from Valdivia?
No, I studied in Valdivia. Okay. I come from Laja. In the Bio region,
right? Okay.
Yes, an industrial town.
And when you studied, when you were in primary and secondary school, did you have any English lessons?
Yes, but how can I say? No, not I came from public
from the public education
public
sector.
Education, so yes, and so this was a small town, and in those days I think the inequity in our society it was higher.
Yes, certainly.
So not many of us had the opportunity to learn English.
Yep.
Because I think everyone is able or capable.
Capable. Yep.
Yeah. But when you have little resources and many students in one
classroom,
it's difficult.
Yeah. Do you remember how many students were with you in one single classroom?
Always about 40.
Same situation here. I studied in Santiago, and I remember back in the 70s, because I started primary school in 1972 probably, there were like 40, 45 students in one class. So it was pretty difficult. Still the situation now.
Maybe, but I think there are more opportunities and the globalization.
Mm-hmm.
But then... When I was studying in Concepcion, and
that is your university? Or?
No, in Enseñanza Media.
Okay, that's a high
secondary,
school. Secondary education as well.
So I had the opportunity to engage a program, I think, at the city level, in many other private schools had the opportunity. So I was chosen... Among 500 students.
So you were given like a scholarship?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Lovely.
I was chosen. Or I get the opportunity.
Yes. Yes.
Only two of us in this public school.
Yeah.
Plus, other two from many other schools.
Yeah. In public as well.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Also, the best schools in the city.
Yeah. Your parents did not speak English.
No.
Okay.
No,
so no. You were the first person to acquire the language.
I think in my family, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, in this program, unfortunately, I had to quit. Because there were no many facilities, so
when you say facilities, it's like the building, the infrastructure, or
the infrastructure, but also the schedule.
Okay, so there were some sort of clashes with your other activities.
Yes, because I was in a different regime because I was. Interno.
Okay, you were in a boarding school.
Yeah.
That's where you have to stay in the school like for a whole week.
Yes, the whole week, and in different, we had classes in different periods of the day.
Yeah.
So I had not the opportunity to attend properly this scholarship.
Yes.
So I had to quit. And then when I started working here, I had the opportunity to learn systematically, because.
At that time, how old were you?
How old? About 27.
Okay.
Years.
But you already had a certain base.
Yes, but the problem is that at that age or in this condition, you don't know about your possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You think that you learn, you know less than you...
Well, than you actually do.
than you actually do.
Maybe it's a matter of self-confidence, you know?
Self-confidence. Yeah. Yes. And you have to go out to abroad. And
then you can actually notice that you know much more than what you thought.
Yes, I think. And then I participate in these courses here at the Universidad de los Lagos, CETPI, from the basic level, intermediate, advanced, and brush up your English, one, two.
That's new to me because, you know, I work for the CTI, and this section in at this university is in charge of spreading the knowledge of English. First, in my case, to the teachers, and then now I am teaching English to the students who were exempted from the obligation to study English because they already have a B1 level. But we don't want them to stay B1. We want them to grow and to reach, if it is possible, B2. And at the same time, we need to encourage them to take international tests in order to study abroad. So we want Universidad de los Lagos, to everyone here, to have the chance to know English. So you are here letting us know about your experience and the way in which you came into contact with this second language. I can realize that your English is really good.
Thank you.
You have probably been abroad. You have studied or worked, visited other countries.
Yes. Let me say something.
Of course.
Because it was interesting for me. I had a scholarship, another scholarship, in Corfu.
I worked in Corfu some 20 years ago.
Okay. They had a very good program for improving the language in a professional level.
Yeah.
And I was preparing TOEIC.
Yeah, the TOEIC test.
TOEIC test.
Yes.
Well, when I started there, I had 700 points, the limit. But
The upper limit.
The upper limit.
Yeah, okay. So that's
I had
top
conflicts
score.
Because conflict with myself, because I thought others should have the opportunity instead of me. But it was a necessity for more students.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, I take the course, and I improved in 850 points.
Really?
Yes.
Oof. Okay. That's
so
nice.
It was a good experience. Okay. And then I had the opportunity. I obtained more self confidence, and I had the opportunity here at the Universidad de los Lagos to travel abroad.
Yep.
And learn.
Where did you decide to go?
It was a project with Sweden.
All right.
With Sweden.
Yeah.
And We had to go there and make the agreement, and then I had the opportunity to teach in Sweden in English. And
in Sweden, we have to tell the listeners, most people are bilingual.
Yes, everybody, especially young people,
mm-hmm.
younger, and. It was, weird, and because I needed a translator, the presence.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if I would be able. But
in the end, you didn't need a translator at all.
At all.
Excellent.
Yes, and I interact with the students. Do you understand me? Am I clear? Yes.
Fantastic. See?
Everything runs perfectly.
Smoothly. Yeah. Okay, now we're going to have a little pause. And before going to the pause, we will ask Gustavo for a song for our listeners. Which song would you like us to listen to?
I would like to listen Rome Wasn't Built in a Day.
By Morcheeba.
By Morcheeba.
Okay, so we will have a little pause and you will listen to this lovely song. See you in a few minutes.
One fine day we'll fly away. Don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day? You and me were meant to be walking free in harmony. One fine day we'll fly away. Don't you know that Rome wasn't built in a day? Hey, hey, hey.
So we are back. Here we are with Gustavo Torres, and you have just listened to Morcheeva's "Rome Was Not Built in One Day." Why did you choose this lovely song?
Well, I like the style, trip hop.
Oh, it's trip hop.
Didn't know that. Of Morcheeva, it's calm, relaxed, mm-hmm. And I like this song because. It mentioned Rome. I love Rome. I was living in Rome 1 year. I was studying there a master mm-hmm. in economics. Mm-hmm. It was a very good experience, so I like this city. But the meaning of the song is, I think, be relaxed.
Because take your time.
Take your time because mm-hmm. Rome wasn't built in a day. Mm-hmm. They say, and you can see in the video. But also I like the concept, or it's a known sentence, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yes, yes.
I like that because I think I am a little bit procrastinator.
So am I.
So it's a very good thing to know that Rome wasn't built in a day, so yes. You need a process before. Mm-hmm. And I think for English learners, it's also a good sentence because you need a process, you need to work. not in one day.
No, you will not be fluent in one day or a week.
No, you need different strategies, I think, to take formal courses, but also watch movies, listening music, I don't know, talk with people. Hopefully to travel.
Well, yes, this is the thing. You will realize once you are abroad that you will be able to communicate with lots of people if you speak English.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether you're in Africa or in Australia or in Asia. Someone will understand English. And you will be able to order food and take a bus, no itineraries.
Yes. Interact with interesting persons.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, coming back to our dealings here at the university, Gustavo, what do you do? What do you teach? To whom?
Well, I am I have a technical experience, I think, and I teach about projects, social projects at the moment, and about environment. In different programs, this semester in social work and in parvularia, I don't know the translate.
Early childhood education.
Okay.
It's quite long.
So it's very interesting. I am also studying a doctorate program here in social sciences. It was a little bit hard for me, but I obtained my approved thesis project.
I can't
remember the name. Proficiency or something?
Might be. See. Proficiency is a typical term used with languages, by the way.
Okay.
See, you're language proficient.
Ah.
So you're going to start a doctor's degree.
I started 2 years ago. Okay. I finished the formal courses, and I approved my thesis project.
Yeah,
is correct. Thesis project?
In English it's more common to say dissertation.
Okay, my research project, perhaps.
Yeah,
examen de suficiencia is the proper name in Spanish.
Sometimes we have to go and look for these terms in glossaries and in specialized dictionaries. So I am tempted to say sufficiency, but I don't know.
Well, my my research is about social ecological systems focused in the firewood issue here.
Because of, I understand, in Osorno there is a big issue with the use of firewood in winter especially.
Yes. It has many, many factors involved, like ecological, environmental, public health, economic. So it's quite difficult to understand and propose solutions.
In Osorno, I understand that the vast majority of people rely on firewood to heat their homes. But I have also read through the paper that the firewood that people are using is called green, is not really dry.
It's not really dry, yes.
So why do you think that people, they know that it's bad for the environment, why do people still consume this green firewood? Is it cheaper?
It's cheaper. This is the main factor, but it's also a cultural problem. Perhaps many of us have the opportunity to use dry wood, taking some measures. It's also known that many persons have not the opportunity because they are poor in economic terms.
Yep.
So it's difficult. Maybe we need new public policies or economic incentives or other ways for improve the whole situation.
I don't know if they have already taken some measures against this environmental issue, because certainly I live, by the way, in Purranque, so I commute into Osorno every day, and in winter I just could not believe the cloud, the gray cloud that you start seeing while you are on the highway, and yes. It's like, okay, within that cloud Osorno is.
Yes, but unfortunately, if you travel across southern Chile, you will find this, the same situation in every town.
I was in Coyhaique like 4 years
ago. Valdivia, Temuco, and small towns also.
Oh dear.
Everybody use firewood.
And not only to heat up or to boil water, I think it is, and they need firewood for every activity inside the house.
Yes, yes. Yeah. But when you live here in southern Chile, you need energy. When I arrived to Valdivia, it was, I don't know, impressive how persons take measures in order to have firewood available in their houses.
Yeah, so everything because that... Yes. Looked like wood.
Why so much wood? But if you don't have an energy source guaranteed during the year, you will suffer. You can get ill.
Yes, actually. So I wonder, is there any policy that aims to make the people change their energy sources, like electricity or gas?
Yes, but we talk about matriz energética diversificada.
It sounds like a matrix, an energy matrix that is diversified.
Yes, I think this is with many energy sources, as you say, as you said, preferably. Renewable sources, but it's difficult to implement this, and
you also need to change the appliances if you rely on electricity.
Yes,
most of the people here use stoves.
Stoves, and it's not only a matter of the source of energy, but also the quality of your house. You need good windows, good doors, and to use
good insulation.
Them. Yes, and you need to be conscious about the saving energy. Not open the whole day the windows.
Yes. So shall we say that you have to work with the communities in order to let them know, maybe convince them, that it is a good idea to change the way in which they warm their houses?
Yes. I think we can use in a sustainable way the wood, the firewood, as a part of a diversified
matrix.
But you need a social agreement. You need a collective action in order to be more sustainable.
Do you think that the people are willing to adopt this change?
Yes. When you talk with different people, everyone is happy with the idea. But you need to know how. How you can be sustainable?
Well, I certainly do understand that for some people it's really difficult to make a change because they don't have the sufficient funds or economic resources.
Yes.
So I wonder if the state or the regional government, to what extent they can help with the change, for example, by changing the material used in the houses or the appliances that they need to buy in order to use other sources of energy.
Yes. There are efforts today, but I think if you as a citizen get involved in a collective way, as I said to you, it's not possible because there are many factors involved.
Yes.
Not only economical, not only ecological, but in many ways.
And in all of this sort of big dilemma, how can the university help? With what kind of tools can we give the communities for them to understand what needs to be done?
Mm. I think the university, in our case of public institution, we can be the I don't know how can I say the
agent.
Yes, a kind of space for make these agreements to create knowledge and to make the final proposals, I think.
Yeah.
The main proposals.
So the university is listening to the different players, say.
Yes.
The government, the communities.
Every kind of stakeholders here.
That's a lovely word, stakeholders.
Yes. 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 Kind of common space.
Mm.
Not with with any vias?
Anyways.
Yes.
Mm. Well, you have just listened to Gustavo Torres. We have known about his life. We know now what he does at this university. We only have to now say thank you for coming here and letting us know what you do at this university and how good your English is. Thank you very much.
Thanks to you.
My pleasure. So that is the end of today's program. You please keep on listening to us. In the future, we will listen to other people talking to us in English, of course, and letting us know what they do at this university. For the moment, I would say so long. Bye. Este fue el programa en inglés. Let's go. Los esperamos en nuestra siguiente edición. See you soon, guys.